The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Lucas got the nod just today. It was no sort of big sort of Hollywood style clompers coming down, King. It was just the nod of we're right to go. This is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, the post buy podcast. The Cats have had 10 days or so, King, to lick their wounds, and they would have had a lot to lick.
It's a 15 day break between games, Benny.
Yeah, there's a lot to digest, Kingy. The wounds were sort of, there was a few wounds after that game against the Lions, which we spoke about last week in the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast.
Good things and we can look forward.
Yes, we can look forward.
Why? Do you know what's good thing about looking forward, Ben? That's the reason why they make windscreens bigger than rearview mirrors.
Right, well, that's good, Kingy. I like that one. Do you know what, Kingy? I got some very exciting news about an hour ago.
What was that?
Because when you get to my age, and I say our age, when you get to my age,
so you're 54.
There's not a lot that sort of blows your hair back, really.
Did,
is
did
it?
Did you get the package from the bowel cancer screening mob? Did you?
No, that wasn't exciting. No. But I was going to say, there's nothing really that blows your hair back at 54, is there? Like you're looking at sort of tablets that may keep trips to sort of maybe sexy land just to keep everything where it should be.
Do you have the Monday to Sunday capsule container?
No.
No, you're not at that point
No,
yet.
That has a name. That has a name, that thing.
There's a sign.
No, I don't have a... There is a name for one of those when you get really old.
What is it?
It'll come to me, Kingy.
All right.
But anyway,
we'll turn to it later.
Yeah.
Yes,
so I got
exciting. What? Go on.
Because when you were younger, how exciting was life? Things would happen each weekend. You'd be out and about, and you'd do some extraordinary.
Life is exciting.
No, anyway, mine's not. I'm the eternal flame. I don't go out. So, but
there's a reason for that because when you do, you usually make an ass.
No,
of yourself.
Occasionally I have not. I haven't done that for quite some time, Kingy. So, but anyway, I found out. That,
can I just remind you of our? I don't know which trip it was recently, where you basically got in the car, we drove to Melbourne to go to the airport to go to an interstate game, and you got in off 3 hours sleep.
Yeah. I was Brahms and Liszt.
when we picked you up.
Yes, I was. But anyway, that was a one-off, Kingy. That was a rare.
It's not a one-off.
That was like Christmas. It was just a one-off.
You slept in the back of the box.
Anyway, I got a message saying to me, because one of the things that keeps me going, I like listen to a bit of music here and there, particularly if you're
who's coming?
Sort of nine cans deep on the couch on 11 o'clock on a Saturday night, a bit of YouTube going.
Yes.
There's nothing for it.
That's good. Yep.
Tool.
Are they?
No, well, not confirmed, but they're going to Japan.
Right.
And each time they've come to Japan, they've come to Australia.
Yep.
So I was up and about, Kingy.
Good.
So already organised, they'll sell out the show instantly and they'll have two shows, possibly both, I think.
Oh. And you've got a bit of a cohort from Geelong that you go to those concerts with.
Who does like to refresh.
One of them has a birthday today.
Who's that?
DJ Rock Dog.
Really?
Yep.
Is it Nico's birthday?
61.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he won't be going to Tool. He's not a Tool man.
He's
going to UMI tomorrow on Saturday, playing at Barnheads.
Right.
Yeah, so I was going to go, but I sort of thought better of it. But anyway.
Well, by the time you get out of...
Yeah, I could have still made it
to
see Big Timmy, the ultimate rock star, Tim Rogers.
I got to see, and I know UMI did Hi-Fi Way...
An hourly daily.
...daily at the Forum.
Yes.
I think I've told you this story.
They did it just recently.
Yeah, and they did it at the Forum 2013. And I turned around and standing behind me was, and I was three sheets to the wind, Bob Murphy.
Right.
Standing right behind me.
That doesn't surprise me. Bob likes his...
Yeah, he loves his alternative sort of music. So I was never a massive UMI fan until then. And then I went back and...
He's a good rock star, Tim Rogers.
Yeah.
Good to see live.
Yeah.
They'll be good at the Barnheads pub.
He's a Kangaroos man. He'll be there tonight.
He's good friends with Nick Barker, who's a big Swans man. But no, he loves his footy.
Who did the Reptiles follow?
I don't know who the rest of the Reptiles followed. One of them is from Adelaide, so probably a Crows.
My favourite Aussie music / footy crossover is the drummer in Goanna wearing the Essendon Don Smallgoods jumper in Solid Rock in the video.
Yeah, there's a lot of... You'd be surprised who some of the...
John Swan wearing a St Kilda jumper on an album cover.
So, there's some very well-known rock stars who love their footy, support their footy. So they'll be supporting Saturday Kingy, Cats, against the Tiggies.
Daryl Summers was a...
Big Dags, he was a big...
He's a big Cats fan.
He was a big Cats fan, Dickie.
No, he still is.
Yeah, still with us. He's got all the, he has too. It was like when I worked at Inside Footy King and the great Russ Holmesby.
Big St Kilda man.
We're talking huge. And he's a big man too, Russ. Yeah. But he did, we used to have little obituaries, and he did an obituary, got into the magazine, and then the bloke rang him and said, look, you've got a bit early with that. I'm still kicking. I'm still very much alive and well. He goes, thanks that you're thinking of me, but I actually am alive and well.
That's like the Australian Football Hall of Fame last year that went with a bloke they thought was deceased. And he wasn't. And he wasn't.
Yeah, you would have thought you'd done the research.
I would have thought.
Anyway, Russ laughed about it, and the guy whose obituary we did laughed about it too, thank God.
Do you know what the good thing is?
What?
You've already written his obituary.
Yeah, well, that's right. I think that's what Russ in the end said to him. Look, when you finally do go, we've got it just to install. We'll rerun it. So, anyway, the Cats won't want to be rerunning too much of their game against Brisbane this weekend, Kingy.
It's
one of those games Geelong will win comfortably. Margin will depend upon how their intent.
They go from a city class opponent to...
Basically a high weight Caston sort of arrangement.
Yeah, it's not good. They'll come out and they'll hopefully take control early and just saunter.
Well, I mean, Kingy, they'll win by
10 goals.
Anywhere from 40 to 100 points. Yeah. If and it'll depend on the opposition to a degree in terms of, will they put up the white flag? If Geelong got hot early, do they suddenly capitulate? Mm. I mean, last week I watched the game Richmond v Adelaide. And, I mean, Adelaide were doing it on a break.
Yeah.
They kicked a goal whenever they wanted to.
Yep.
Geez, that Curtin's a good player for Adelaide.
He's turned into a very handy player.
191 or something. Playing on a wing. They just... It got out to, what was it, about 60-odd points in the end?
Yep.
Could have been 160 points. I mean, each time Richmond did kick a goal, Adelaide just responded in about 2 seconds. So I don't know if they got much to bring in the Tigers, in fairness.
No.
I was thinking while I was watching the game last week, I know we were Cats, but...
It was a tough watch.
Tigers and...
Yeah.
Well, the three gun midfielders, supposedly, are Prestia, a Taranto, and Hopper.
Yep.
Now, Prestia and Taranto win the ball well, can't hit a target to save themselves.
No.
And Hopper's a bit hit and miss as well. He's not what you would classify as a good kick. And you'd classify Taranto and Prestia as poor kicks. So they've really got nothing in the midfield.
So they had 8 goal kickers, and their leading goal kicker was Jasper Elgar.
Who's played his second game.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a couple of players who put in each week. Ross puts in.
Yep.
Hugo Ralph-Smith.
Yep.
He's become a pretty, or becoming a solid player.
Tom Brown's coming along nicely.
Tom Brown's playing okay.
Son of.
Seth Campbell. He's a dangerous player up forward.
Johnny Fall's going to be a good player.
Yeah, but he's miles away.
Yeah, but he's going to be a good player.
Yeah,
Richmond supporters will probably go, oh, God, we're getting absolutely hammered and all that sort of stuff. But one of the byproducts of that is...
Games into young players, who then develop quick. But they've got three or four players there, but they're...
Steely Green's a good player.
Do you know what's interesting, Kingy, too? And Cats won't do this because they're too much, probably a bit too smart-assy for this, but... They successfully completely shut Vlorston out of the game last week, Adelaide.
Mm.
They played, I reckon, was it Keys? Was it Keys? No, it wasn't Keys. It was, they had a shadow on Vlorston, who is probably Richmond's best player, if you allow him just to run free across half-back. He reads the ball beautifully. He's a great mark. He's a really good player. He's a star player.
Yeah.
But they shut him out of the game. And, I mean, they had nothing really in defence to rebound the ball out. And I wonder whether the Cats will take a leaf out of that book and try and nullify Vlorston. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered whether they did or they didn't last week. But do you want to continue? We've spoken about Mullen tagging. Do you want to continue to do that so that when it's absolutely needed, then the player has repetition in that space? So I'd love to see the Cats maybe look to try and shut out of Vlorston with a Brad Close, who's been doing a few shutdown roles with... limited success, I'd say.
Bailey Dale.
He's had three or four. Bailey Dale, but he went to... There's been a few, Kingy. There's been a few. Mm. I wonder whether... Does Mullen tag anyone? Probably not. But where does he play? Cross half back?
So the question is here, is this where you might get George Stephens an opportunity?
Well, if he's not getting an opportunity this week, he might as well start looking somewhere else.
Yeah.
Which he probably is anyway.
He's out of contract.
Yeah, he won't be at the Cats next year. He's played too well and got no opportunity. Mm. They're not playing him this week.
But Mitch Hardy was the same this time 12 months ago too, and nobody took him at the end of the year. George Stephens is a different beast, maybe. George Stephens is better by foot than Mitch Hardy.
Yeah.
Not as quick, but Mitch Hardy wasn't quick either.
He's bigger than Mitch Hardy, though, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, look, you'd love to see him get a crack. He's earned it, even if it's just to showcase him to someone else, if the Cats can get something for him.
Is that, do clubs think like that?
No, I don't think they do. I wouldn't have thought. I mean, if you're stupid, if you're another club, if you're going to fall for one game, I mean, they'd be watching him.
Oh, but you give him more than that. You give him three or four.
Oh, they're not going to give him three or four if they don't think he's... If he hasn't got a game by now, they're not going to give him three or four.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought.
Unless he comes in and absolutely tears it up.
Well, there is a possibility he probably could come in and get it 20 times against Richmond.
Yeah.
But how does that look against a better team?
No, well...
I mean, then you're dropping... So he then would get in over Mitch Clark and... Mitch Clark. God, I hope he's not blind. He'd be big trouble if he's in Kingy. Jai Clark.
Yep. Well, Jai Clark sits still in the concussion protocol.
So he's out?
Yeah.
And Mitch Nevitt. You'd get in over Mitch Nevitt.
Yeah.
So that's his role.
Yeah.
Mitch Nevitt would be probably starting to look elsewhere.
Yeah, he's out of contract too.
Yeah. So,
potentially in front of Closey as well.
He's earned a crack though, hasn't he?
He's done everything he can. He cannot do any more.
No. I think you should ring the coach, Jed Bue style.
Probably a bit different when you've played 170 games and played in a flag and been on a list for 15 years as opposed to...
Do you reckon Jed Buse is coming in this week?
Don't know.
Do you think that Mitch Duncan will be in the team?
No.
Do you think that Jack Martin will be in the team?
Yes.
I think the same. Do you think that Mitch Duncan will announce that he's retiring in the next fortnight?
No.
I'm not saying retire as in not playing again, but he's going to retire at the end of the year and then we get a farewell game.
Won't be in the next fortnight.
Right. Do you think that Jack Martin and Mitch Duncan should play in the same
team? I still think Martin can bring something. I think Mitch Duncan...
Do you think Mitch Duncan can... Jack Martin can bring something where?
As a sub.
Right. A 30-something old bloke who's slow as the sub. That's a big call.
Creative player...
You've got to have somebody who's got some juice as the sub. He's got no juice. We've spoken about this, but he couldn't get the ball 35 metres. Can't get out of his own way.
I still think he'd be an ideal sub.
Do you think the team from that was beaten by Brisbane,
yep.
How will it change for Saturday's game against Richmond? Duncan out?
Yep. Bo's in.
And do you think that will be the only change?
Couldn't see much more beyond that.
So... Stephen's not in.
No.
Who else are we? So Stephen's, Nevitt,
yep.
Players. These are possibilities.
Yep.
Is there any other ones?
Jai Clark.
But you said he can't play.
Concussion protocol. Well, that was on Tuesday. Things can, because he's passed the days. So if he passes, ticks off everything, if he's ticked off everything by tonight,
yep.
When teams are selected, he could play Saturday.
DeConing is still a couple of weeks away.
2 to 4.
Did you go to the, is there any sort of press conference arrangements today?
Chris Scott's tomorrow.
Did you go down to the club this week at all?
No. Only Jeremy Cameron Monday morning.
And how was Big Five?
He was good.
What did he have to say? I heard him say that he just stayed at home.
No, he got in the caravan.
Oh, he got in the caravan.
Got in the caravan? No, I'm not sure where he went. I'm not really interested in where Jeremy Cameron goes.
Did he go up the country?
I would have thought. Yeah, he went somewhere and he's parked the van on a site.
Do you reckon he was listening to Canned Heat?
Going up the country?
Yeah.
Very good, Benny.
Do you think he was?
Not sure. Canned Heat was a band.
They were, yeah.
Who had a song
they played an unbelievable set at Woodstock.
Did they?
Yeah. If you haven't seen it.
How good is it?
Yeah. And the lead singer was weird. He died when he was in his 30s. They found him, I reckon, in his sleeping bag in the bush.
Yeah, right. And there's a lot of weird lead singers out there, Benny.
But if you've got nothing to do,
yeah.
The Canned Heat set at Woodstock
good.
Was rated as one of the best sets of the entire gig.
And it's the most iconic gig.
And
of all
the lead singer is enormous.
Yeah, right.
Enormous.
Big boy. I can't see.
They took a lot of. They took a lot of the funny stuff. I think.
Not allowed. Not allowed to do that these days, Benny.
What?
Well, you're not supposed.
Tell
to.
Tell it to Mick Jagger.
Yeah. You've completely thrown me.
What?
Merrily Mick Jagger's.
Oh, he does yoga in that now, but he did yoga when he was on.
And he turns up to the cricket. He's a member at Lords.
How's he still alive?
Oh, no. How's Keith Richards still alive?
How's Rod Stewart still alive?
That's unbelievable.
There's a few of them.
Rod Stewart's still playing a residency
in Vegas.
He played
at Glastonbury.
Yeah, he's still doing a residency in Vegas.
Yeah. Old Rock and Rod loves his... Doesn't he love the What was the team Postecoglou coached?
Tottenham Hotspur.
No, in Scotland.
Rangers or Celtic.
Yeah, he's a massive Celtic fan, yeah. I think. Yeah.
So I would suspect there's not going to be massive changes for the Cats, especially coming out of the bye, because they're going to want continuity building. They will manage guys.
Building.
But you've got to build the next 8 weeks. You've got to get a body of work together. You've got to go 6-2 to try and jag second.
Yep.
At minimum.
To 6-2 jag your second on your live sort of predictor.
I haven't done a ladder predictor, but you would think 6-2.
A predictor.
6-2 would be, if it's not enough for second, you're still going to finish top four. The only thing you probably want to avoid is Brisbane in the qualifying final.
How many goals do you think the Cats will kick? I think they'll kick 20 plus.
Comes down to the weather. But
I think the weather's supposed to be okay, isn't it?
A couple of showers around. But look, will Richmond try and junk it up potentially? I don't know.
I don't think they're capable.
They'll kick 18 to 23.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Jezza kicks. Miller will probably go to him.
Yep.
He's actually not too bad, Miller. Yeah. He's coming along okay.
Bolter's got to go forward.
It's a sort of game where I'd say a Stengel could seriously kick 4 or 5.
This is where Ollie Henry might be able
to get some. Do you think he'd be the sub again?
I hope not. I think he showed a bit in that quarter and a half where he had double figure possessions, which was something he'd struggled to do through the first
playing
10
on the wing
weeks.
Though. Yeah, playing up the ground.
I don't
a little
mind
bit.
That.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was good. He played with some urgency. He played sort of hair on fire style, which he needed to do because he was, he's absolutely struggled, as we've spoken about most weeks here on the Kerr's High podcast. But I'd like the way he went about it. He certainly didn't star, but he played with a real my spots on the line sort of mentality.
Yeah.
And we haven't. I mean, the critique on him has been, not only is he not getting the ball, but he doesn't really provide you much with defensively.
No, he's a bit.
But he actually was doing a little bit of that in that game against Brisbane. Well, it's just not his go. It's just not. There's some players like that. I sometimes get a bit frustrated. Yeah, I know you've got to be a complete player and all that stuff, but it's not Ollie Henry's role to be chased down tackles, and that's not his thing. It never has been. Jamie Elliott doesn't do much of that. I'll give you the tip.
Mark Blitzarves earns AFL Life membership this week.
Yeah, he's been a gem.
285 home and away games.
He's been a gem, like a potato gem. Do you have those?
Yeah, I remember. I want them really crunchy too.
Yeah, just a nugget. It's like I've told this story, Kingy, when I was in the back of my, I think I might have told this story about the Guinness. Because it's like, when you put the potato jam in your mouth.
Mm.
And I was got in the back of my friend's mother's bright yellow Toyota Corolla back in the day. Mm-hmm. And there were three of us in the car. And I was in the back with another guy called Sean. And Peter was in the front. And the mother, who's a church-going lady,
yeah.
She lived in Stork Avenue in Belmont and prayed quite a bit.
For you too.
Yeah, for all of us. She prayed for all of us. And she was taking us to an establishment where there was going to be some refreshments had. And she said, what are you boys going to do today? And Sean said, well, we are Mrs. Jakes. We are going to be having a Guinness. And she said, I've never had a Guinness before. And Sean replied, well, Mrs. Jakes, it's like an angel pissing on your tongue. And the little Corolla nearly veered into the guest thing used to be opposite in Mirrible Street there.
You're right.
Yeah. It was like an angel pissing on your tongue. But those potato gems,
yeah.
They're not far away from that. Right. They are in those areas, Kingy.
Especially when they're really crunchy. You want crunchy potato gems. So back on Mark Blitzarves, 284 home and away games so far, 14 preseason games and one State of Origin.
Yeah, he's been good.
Exhibition game. So he actually goes past Matty Scarlett for games played at the Cats.
It's amazing, isn't it?
So quite incredibly, they didn't cross paths. Scalo retired at the end of 2012 and Blitzarves played.
Really?
Start of 2013.
It's a good stat.
Mm. So he goes past.
He's been unbelievably durable. So, I mean, would I be right in saying the least number of games he's played in a season would be 19?
Let me double check that. And it'd probably be 2015.
He did a hamstring in 1 year and missed about a month.
So
I reckon.
2023. 19 games.
That's the least number of games he's played in any one season.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a very, very good effort for a bloke that's sort of, his dimensions. You know, he has a crack. You know, he's not like he's an outside sort of player.
Got engaged during the week too.
Did he?
Yeah, to his partner, Georgia.
Oh, poor bastard. Commiserations.
Another funeral for the living.
Another funeral for the living. There, people still do that. It's just stupidity of the highest order.
So he goes past Scalo this week. Peter Riccardi next in his sights on 288. Darren Millburn, 292. And that's, barring any injury, he'll go past Darren Millburn in the first final.
And when you say it, it's going past players like Scarlett and Millburn.
And Riccardi.
I mean, well, I grew up with those. Well, not grew up with, but... You know, they were like the furniture of the Geelong Footy Club.
Yep.
You know, you're talking about some elite players. I mean, I know Darren Millburn, he didn't perhaps have the profile of the others. He kept to himself quite a bit, but he was an absolute gun.
So he'll go past Mitch Duncan, you would think. So next year, Sam Newman, Jimmy Bartel.
Wow, past Jimmy Bartel.
Yep.
Wow, yeah, that is amazing.
Barring injury, this time next year, he'll go past Jimmy Bartel.
Absolutely amazing.
So that would be outright fifth in Geelong history, and then if he was to go on another year.
Do you think he's got 2 years left? I think we've spoken about this before.
No,
2 years?
Definitely got one.
What is he, 34?
He's re-signed. Mark Blitzarves is 34, yeah.
He's so sort of...
Remember, he was late to start too, so he didn't play his first game until he was 22.
Yeah.
So really, like you can't, like I know the age says 34, but in terms of playing 280 games from 18...
Yeah, he's, but
I suppose
he's still battle hardened like somebody who's played that number of games, and he's also 34, which makes it more difficult.
Yeah,
I mean, as you get to, your clock's expired by the time you're 34. The thing that the thing that holds him in good stead, obviously, is that you know he's genetically gifted athletically.
Who do you think's older, Mitch Duncan or Mark Blitzarves?
They're probably very close.
They are, but Mark Blitzarves is older.
Yeah, right.
If you can believe that.
Well, like I said, he's so gifted genetically, and we see it with Mitch Duncan. You know, he's been a great player, Mitch Duncan. But the time, you know, the end's come for him. He can't impact the game. And the skills that he had were to win the ball and then distribute it. He can't do that anymore. He even sometimes with his kicking's gone, his confidence is gone, his athleticism's gone. Not that he was a tremendously athletic player for most of his career, but he could move and he could distribute, but he can't even do that. Whereas Blitzar's probably broken the mold a little bit in terms of his physique, in that he's unbelievable runner, and the one who might be, and I don't want to mozzie him because he'll probably end up getting injured on the weekend, but the one who might shape a bit like that is Connor O'Sullivan. That sort of weird athletic profile. We've heard that his running is off the charts. He's similar dimensions to Blitzarves, probably could develop into a similar type player. So he's one that might have that athletic profile. Whereas some of the shorter blokes struggle to maintain, particularly if you're not super quick to start with. That's when it catches up with you quickly.
He's like my favourite club in the bag, the old hybrid.
I thought it was the hand wedge. I heard a really good story this week, Kingy.
Right.
So from this is not you won't be able to, you won't need to cut this one out. So
usually when you say I might not you won't need to cut this out, I usually
no.
Do.
I heard Santo Chilaro interview during the week
he's got
a podcast out about the Italian cinemas when he was growing up. There was Italian cinemas dotted across Melbourne, and he grew up with them. Anyway. He told a very funny well, it wasn't funny. It was sort of...
poignant?
Well, I don't know what word. It was interesting. That when, I think it was 1984, the Italian team came to Australia to play in Australia.
Yep. And Italian soccer team.
Yeah, the Italian soccer team. And I think they brought their... Like, they didn't bring their B graders. Well, I think they brought their pretty good team.
And they'd won the World Cup only 2 years before.
Sorry, I lie. I reckon one of the teams came out. One of like Juventus or one of those really big teams.
Yeah, it would have been
more that. Yeah, so Juventus came out.
Or AC Milan.
I forget the team. Anyway, one of the big team came out, and a lot of the players that played for Italy were in this team. So they were here. So, you know, five or six of them were all Italian representatives. Anyway, they had a press conference at one of the hotels in town, in Melbourne, and the coach, his English wasn't great. So he said to the guy, you know, my English is fine. I will be able to answer your questions. The guy asked the first question, and you could sense that Santo could sense he was there, that the coach had no idea what he'd said. So he put his hand up. He wasn't involved in this in any way, shape or form. He put his hand up, came along, stood in the front next to the coach.
Translated.
And translated. And there's footage of it on Channel 2. And he spent the rest of their tour being the translator for the team.
How good's that?
Oh, I know. I laughed. I thought to myself, that is fantastic.
Juventus, 1984.
Yeah.
As the holder of the European Cup Winners' Cup and played a three-match series against Australia.
And they played against, I think, Francis Awaratifi might have been playing, Giggy.
I don't think so.
Do you think Jan Mulby was playing?
Oh, my man, Jan Mulby.
I don't know anything
Liverpool.
About soccer. I just know they've got some stupid names.
All right, here we go.
And they've all got one. If you're no good unless you've just got one name. You don't need a Christian name. You just got to be like...
Pele.
Wizard.
Ronaldinho. Yeah. Ronaldo.
Yeah. Why don't we ever, AFL players, just call themselves like just Kevin? Just don't have a surname, just be called Kevin.
Mick Howley. Any chance we could clear out the Ford 50 and try to get Jezza a big bag?
No.
The great Gazook style this week.
That'd be exciting.
What if he kicked four?
Jeremy Cameron's a great player, but he's not even close to Gazooki sort of areas. But look, the thing about that, Mick, is, and I like the sentiment, I like the sort of frivolity and the bit of fun style of that. Mm. But Geelong, like Kingy says, Geelong want to at least start thinking about finals, the way they want to play. And I know they'll win on Saturday regardless of what they do, but that's when you probably want to double down and actually do things well rather than, as the old expression is, flirt with your form. Mm. So I, as much as I'd love to see them just sort of play the old Cameron Paddock.
One out.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't happen because they need to start. We saw against Brisbane, they got exposed. So they need to actually start. And not, I mean, up until that Brisbane game, they had been doing that. So I'm not suggesting that they'd gone off the tracks, but just sort of flirting with your form to get guys' goals wouldn't be ideal.
Marky Mark, what's the chance of getting some games into some younger players like Nevitt, Closey, Clark? Mm. Well, you won't have Jai Clark based on concussion protocol. George Stephen is also in that crew. I'm just not sure what their plans are. Like right now, their focus is winning a flag.
Yeah.
And I suppose the question I've got to ask is, if Geelong are winning a flag... So at round 16, 2022, we knew that Sam De Koning, Max Holmes, although he didn't play in the grand final, were going to be part of the Geelong team that were going to win a flag.
Yeah.
When Geelong got moving in 2022. Right now, you've got to ask yourself a question. On grand final day in 2025, if Geelong are there, are Geelong winning the flag with Mitch Nevitt, George Stephens, Jai Clark? I think Closey, yes. The other three, I don't think so. Now, things can change. Obviously, we're still 12 weeks away from grand final day.
Mm.
But I'm taking that view of it.
Yeah, I mean, as it stands right now, you're probably right. The thing about that is that, you know, one player like that isn't going to make or break you. Do you want to get a few games into those guys in case you do need them?
That's the flip side.
Yeah. Or do you want to go into the finals, you know, having not played them for the best part of 10 to 12 weeks, and then you cop an injury, two injuries in the second and last round and the last round, and then you actually rely on them and they come into a final cold. Do you want to rest up a Bailey Smith when they play a team down here? Mm. So that, yeah, you know, and give Nevitt a game or give somebody a game so that at least they've got that little bit of sort of senior experience of more recent times. It's probably a balance because I think it's...
I know you're not resting Bailey Smith because he's had a couple of misses already.
Well, I'm just saying you want him up fit and firing. So if he plays the next two or three weeks and is a little bit sore, do you then give him a rest or do you give Max Holmes a rest so that he's 100% for finals? I mean, and give another guy an experience. I don't know, but it's. I think it's sort of folly to suggest you're just going to go from now with the team you put out there on Saturday and go right through to the end of the season through the finals with the same team. It's not going to happen. So you say right now Geelong aren't winning, well, unlikely to be winning the flag with those three players.
Yep.
That's a possibility, but they may be needed. Mm. So what shape are they in when you actually need them?
And especially when the VFL aren't going to play finals, so they're not going to have any footy. Mm. They could get to a prelim, Geelong get a massive injury.
So it's a management. And who have we got on Saturday, do we know?
James Rowley.
Right. Well, we could ask James Rowley whether they're thinking about that, the fashioning the team for blokes who right now are not in. Let's say the team on Saturday isn't named and those blokes aren't in it. Are you thinking about giving those guys games so that they're ready to go in case you do need them? Or do you just play your best team between now and then?
Cam Guthrie will play VFL this weekend, more than likely.
Collar Jasny?
No, it's still indefinite.
Right. Loch Ness?
2 weeks away.
Right.
And that's basically on the injury list.
That's it.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's a good position to be in. Yep. So,
and De Koning.
So De Koning, oh, they said 4 weeks, yeah, so he's missed two?
Yeah, it's probably 2 to 3 still away.
Yeah, okay. But he's back in time to get at least a month of
football. Oh, he'll be back by August.
Yeah, well, that's good.
That's does Cam Guthrie have a role to play?
Jeez, he'd want to be good. He'd want to be good. I'd
put it this way.
Let's put it this way. There's a spot there.
Hmm.
There's a spot there because we saw it against Brisbane. The Cats get exposed for their lack of depth in the midfield. Can he get back to be contributing where he's not a liability? And I'm not having a go at Cam Guthrie. He's been fantastic, but he's missed so much football.
Mm.
You know, I'd hate to have him in there and touch the ball at 6 times and you're thinking, where can we hide him? He'd need to put together a really good 3-week block in the twos,
yep.
Come in and then be a contributor when he comes in at senior level. Otherwise, I fear that he's probably left his run too late.
Trevor Young, given our soft draw on the way home, is the likely to be help or hindrance come finals time? Last year, finals still fresh in mind. Lions were battle-hardened by the end. We had a pretty light run in.
Yeah, I did see that. I'm not against that. The Cats do have a...
Giants in Sydney, Sydney in Sydney.
Yeah, they're too hard going. I mean, Sydney are out. Sydney can't make finals
now. Not
now. After losing to the Bulldogs. So what shape are they in 4 or 5 weeks' time? Are they mentally, you know, tapped out? I mean, they had something to play for against the Bulldogs. Who have they got this week? They play somebody at home.
The Bulldogs?
No, Sydney.
Sydney against Fremantle.
Sydney basically need to win out.
Yeah, Sydney play Fremantle.
Yeah, so that's unlikely to happen. So by the time the Cats play them, their fate will 100% be known that they can't play finals. So right now, they're mathematically can still make it. It's very unlikely. So I just wonder what state they're in. Yeah, GWS up there will be a tough game, but there are some sodas at home. I mean, the Saints...
Port Adelaide's not a soda.
No, Port Adelaide. I can't have Port Adelaide.
I know you can't, but it's not a soda.
No, they're beating Port Adelaide comfortably at home.
Essendon?
Essendon at home, they're beating comfortably.
North Melbourne at Marvel's?
North Melbourne at Marvel's a tricky one because they're crap at Marvel, Geelong. And North, they might get a few players back. But, I mean, let's put it this way. If Geelong are on their money, they win that. The only way they don't win that is if they have a day like they did against St Kilda earlier in the year. Mm. So, yeah, look, I do see that can be problematic, not being battle-hardened. Because of those, if you're Collingwood, Brisbane, Adelaide, Hawthorn, I don't know what the Bulldogs' runs home is like. I reckon the Bulldogs have got a pretty soft run home as well. Geelong clearly have the weaker schedule. So I don't know how that gives you some confidence, I suppose, but it can then be a rude shock when you get to a final and the previous 3 weeks have been absolute dollies and you're suddenly in the, you know, there's a furnace in front of you and you're not used to that.
Dogs have got North Melbourne tonight.
Yeah, well, they're winning that.
Adelaide, which has been moved back to Marvel but was originally scheduled for Ballarat.
Yeah, well, that's a big game.
Brisbane in Brisbane.
Yeah, that's tough.
Essendon.
Yeah, they win that.
Then they've got GWS at Marvel.
Yeah, well, it's Marvel. They'd be hard to beat there.
Melbourne at the MCG.
Yeah, they win there.
West Coast over here.
Yeah, they win that.
And they round out with Fremantle at Marvel.
Yeah, so they've got a good run. All their tough games are at Marvel, bar Brisbane.
Yep.
So it is a tougher schedule than the Cats, helped by the fact they're all at home. They're a very good team, the Bulldogs.
Yes.
Very, very good team. I would not be wanting to play them. If I'm the Cats.
And off big footy, Cats.
Let's put it this way. I would rather play Collingwood than the Bulldogs.
Hmm. What was your pre-season prediction for Geelong this season? What is your updated prediction now if you had to make one? I had Geelong finishing the bottom half of the eight.
I can't remember. I had them, King.
Making the second week of the finals.
Did I have them top four?
I think you did, yeah.
Fourth? Third or fourth?
No, I'd have to go back.
I reckon I'm on the money still.
What's your updated prediction? I see preliminary final at worst for Geelong.
From here?
Yep. At worst.
At worst.
Yeah.
If they don't make the preliminary final from here, there will be an absolute, it'll be a good old-fashioned debacle.
Mm.
With the run home, with a fit list.
Right now it's a fit list.
Yeah.
8 weeks' time.
So they've given themselves an opportunity. If they don't at least get to it, if they went out and, they'd have to go out in straight sets, not to get to a prelim. That would be diabolical.
In both your time associating with the Cats, this is from Dudas Maximus, what endears you most towards them?
What endears me? geez, this is sort of a bit philosophical. I might need to have a sort of a bit of a Bob Marley arrangement to answer this one, Kingy.
You grew up.
Obviously. I grew up with the Cats, yeah. I grew up with the Cats. So what in dear? I don't know.
You were a regular Saturday afternoon at Kidinya Park attendee.
When I was old enough to go, yep. We used to go with Andrew Wills.
Yep.
Yeah, we went and watched the Cats. We stood out in the outer and watched the Cats. Because my dad barracked for Essendon, he doesn't barrack for Geelong. But he went to golf on a Saturday, so I went to footy, tried to go to the footy. I don't know, Kingy. Endears me to them. They're just the team I grew up supporting because they're the first team I could actually go and watch.
Yep.
But I don't know that I'm endeared. I don't. Let's put it this way: I don't lose my shit when Geelong don't win. I'm not 100% invested in winning and losing with the Cats. I mean, you hear things across the journey about the club that don't always. It's not all beer and Skittles.
Yep.
It's a very different landscape to just see. Look. I'll quick give you an example. Because you hear things along the way and you don't always like the personalities within the club or from what you hear,
yeah.
You don't know them personally, but from what you hear, there's some questionable, you know, things that go on. And that happens at every club, not just Geelong. But whereas the Cincinnati Bengals, I don't have any association with them whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I'm invested in the team because I don't know anything different.
Yeah.
I don't hear any stories other than just footy stories you read.
Yeah.
So I'm more invested in the Bengals because I actually don't have that sort of connection. And I don't have the same connection I used to with the Cats. But I would cheer for the Cats to win, and I like the Cats to win, but I'm not losing sleep over it.
Daz Broncos, nice part about the bye is I get to sleep like a normal human for a weekend. Now that's over, back to the real stuff. Agree 100% with Benny on the last pod about Closey needing to be in the 23 over Martin/Duncan. Never have truer words been spoken. Ted would not have altered the outcome overall, but would have stiffened up the guts with his effort and endeavour. Yeah. Mitch Edwards is a more blitz-type ruck than a Sean Darcy-type. VFL work's been promising with nice tap and follow-up on the ground for a big bloke. Good skills and footy smarts, but not much to him and needs probably two more pre-seasons to really grow into it. Rough, but you can see it's in there. Well, it's only your second season, so he's a young big.
I like the fact that they're at least trying to grow their own as a ruckman. I think that's good.
Loch Ness has been cited too, but dropped back under the surface before anyone can get too close to him. Lenny Hoffman also allegedly in the VFL this week for the first minute since he heard he's back in the preseason. That is correct. Trade dreams. Do we spend big on Reed or Butters now, or wait and try and pry Cadman from GWS in 2027?
To replace Cameron.
Which would be about right. Cameron with two more years.
Is this from Daz?
Yeah, maybe
it was comprehensive. Wasn't
Cameron
it? It was comprehensive.
Would have, Cameron's rap. Probably got three tops left after this.
Is he 32?
Two, yeah.
He's another one that's a bit sort of wispy in terms of his profile, physical
he's
profile.
Sinewy. Bit Michael Tuck-like.
Yeah, he is, yeah, which means you those players can generally maybe durable. Play a year or two longer than you would expect normally. Andrew Mackey was probably a bit like that. Yeah, look, that's interesting. It seems to me that Butters is on the way out of Port Adelaide. Geez, you'd have to pay him a fortune. I don't know if he's the sharpest knife in the drawer, the Butters. Do you know he got an ATAR of 12? And when they put up the flag of Switzerland, do you know what he said? He thought it was the first aid flag. He thought it was the Red Cross.
No, that's not true.
That is 100% true.
Right.
So luckily he can play football.
And son of God, 29. Back home versus the Tigers. Should get back to winning ways. Team probably isn't in the position to start mucking around with selection, so don't think we'll see much change between now and the finals, although we'd like to see more Ted C in the next month. 10-5 looks okay with only two trips to New South Wales to come, but can't afford to drop any more games. There's been a lot of talk around Jack Martin's place in the side. Yep. I say back the bloke, but if he's going to play halfback, then Jed has to be in the side. We haven't spoken about Jed Buse. And Mitch
he's
Duncan,
not in.
as good as he needs to be. He needs to make way. Surely the Cats are up to their eyeballs in Reed and Butters, given they have a couple of NGAs over the next 2 years, including the ruling that allows us to draft Carl Steinfurt's boy in 2026, and with the likely type Jesse Mellor in 2025, should have high-end picks to get the trades done. Imagine a midfield of Prime Holmes, Baz, Zach and Harley. I don't think you're getting both Zach Butters and Harley Reed.
Both?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
No.
We're going to pay $3 million to two blokes. Yeah. No, that's definitely not happening.
No.
The only way one of those two players comes to Geelong is if they are happy to play for a lot less than they could get elsewhere. Mm. Butters, I would have thought, will go to a Melbourne club. I think he thrives on the lights and the... I don't think he likes the quiet lifestyle. Yeah. So I'd be very surprised if he doesn't end up... Reed might be slightly different. Yep. He's a country kid, isn't he?
He's from Tongala.
Tongala?
Between Kyabram and Echuca.
So he'd be one that possibly... I reckon he's more of a chance than Butters, but it just depends on what money he wants. If he wants 1.2, 1.3 million, I don't think the Cats are going to go with that.
What have we got in terms of Hydro Heroes, Benny?
Oh,
this week?
Can you? You'll have to. Hydro did text me, so we have got.
What numbers are we looking at this week? We've got to add two more, especially because we're actually having the next 2 weeks off. Benny is getting his passport out and disappearing. Won't be on the GWS Giants game next Saturday.
So we've got numbers, Kingy.
Yes.
21.
Ooh.
And that's my name. That's my number. I'm getting that player. And hang on. I've got 21 and 34.
So 21 actually gives you some good options.
Well, I've just got to get these up, Kingy.
So 21. So the options for 21, Cam Mooney.
Well, he was a good player for the Cats for quite some time.
Mick Mansfield.
Well, Mickey up the chimney. Kicked it up the chimney. Went to school with Mick.
Mark Yates.
Wow, Yater. Was he famous for just exploding off the line? Good player too.
And also in that era, Jordan Murdoch.
Kingy.
Which gave us that great little sequence of the number 21.
Yeah, it did. Hydro loves that.
Yeah, he does.
He absolutely...
So he went from Yates to Mansfield to Mooney to Murdoch.
It's his Viagra, footy Viagra. What's your footy Viagra, King?
No, I don't.
Have you got any?
No, Cam Mooney.
He's your footy Viagra.
No, Cam Mooney's the bloke in the 21, I think.
Mick Mansell was pretty good.
He was very good.
He was vice captain, played for Victoria.
All Australian.
Yeah, I don't know. Jordan Murdoch is the odd one out there. He was. How he got to 100 games, I will never ever know. And then Gold Coast signed him for 3 years. They needed to have a frontal lobotomy, Gold Coast.
And he played at the Gold Coast 14 games.
I am knocking him, but he was doing his best. But he was making what used to frustrate me with Jordan Murdoch, and I use him as a great example of he and James Parsons. Mm. Remember the Parsnip?
Number 34.
Yeah. We might be able to. Just he mentioned in the 34s.
He won't get enough
games. So they didn't improve. They were making the same mistakes in game 40 as they made in game 2. James Parsons was a terrible kick, and he couldn't kick a goal. He was a sort of a opportunistic half forward who would serially miss every time he shot at the big white ones. Jordan Murdoch just was, oh my God, he used to just frustrate the crap out of me. I remember he kicked 3 goals one day against Hawthorn at the MCG.
He did.
But he just never improved. His game never developed, and they kept playing him for some reason. I've no idea why.
So where are you going? Do you want to go Mick Mansfield or Cam Mooney?
Well, a couple of flags helps, doesn't it?
Mm.
How many games did Big Moondog play?
210.
210. How many goals did he snaffle for the Cat Attacks?
In 210 games he kicked. Let me just scroll back to Cam Mooney. He kicked 295 goals.
Yeah, look, we have to go Cam Mooney.
Do you know Mick Mansfield kicked 100 goals?
Yeah, he was
for playing off our halfback flank.
Do you know what Mick was? Mick was an elite mark. He always was.
Very
even
good overhead.
Did I just say that?
Well, you see, he was an elite mark.
Yeah,
give me an elite chess mark.
No, you know, he was an elite chess mark. That's a basic skill of the game. But he was right from a kid. He very very good mark. He had really sticky fingers. That was his one wood when we played in the junior. So, and he followed it through into the AFL. He just wasn't a great kick.
Mm.
He used to kick him up the chimney.
He did.
Yeah, 30 up and 30 down.
He was a 60 meter player. Yeah.
So we'll go with Cam Mooney, Kingy. Good player. Good fella.
And you said number 34.
So Kingy, 34, well, I can tell you.
There's only one option.
Well, yeah, James Raleigh.
That's it.
So you've got James Raleigh.
James Raleigh.
Where are you going to hide him? Because he was a shocker.
Oh, we need a bench.
We'll be on that for sure.
Yeah.
He couldn't hit the side of a barn either, old Rales, unfortunately.
He's joining us on Saturday.
Oh, good. We'll be able to ask him why he's kicking with
90 games, so 11 goals. And
the other one there, King, who won't make it, but Peter Walker wore 34.
He did. 63 premiership player. Yeah. Grandfather of...
Of Josh. Josh. Yeah.
Who, in the end, played 33 games. James Parsons played 35.
Yeah, Parsons.
Others to wear, Craig Alderdice.
Yep. Big.
The Poltergeist.
Yep.
Wore the 34.
Mullen's got it at the moment. Who else wore 34?
Simon Hogan.
Oh, yeah. He was studying to be a doctor.
Yep. Zane Taylor.
Zane Taylor, yes.
one of your favourite people in the world.
Peter Zeichler.
No, Basil Flynn.
Oh, Basil. He's 34 for the Cats.
Yep.
Former...
Principal of
St. Pat's, and then went to Clairvaux, yeah. And now currently, for whatever reason, retired, but works for Danny O'Brien Racing.
Does he?
Yeah.
What does he do for Danny?
Well, you see him at the... He drives the truck or goes to the races and leads them around. And
so Basil played six games in 83-84. He debuted as a 27-year-old.
Very good principal he was.
Yeah.
He had a good knack of knowing names.
So Basil's just turned 70.
Yeah, so you see him at the races each and every week.
Trevor Spencer.
Big Trevor. We used to call him, came from Essendon, and they used to call him Spencer for hire. he wasn't much chop.
Wayne Hovey of the Model Warri Hoveys.
Oh, yeah. He wore 34.
He played six games in the 34. Trevor Spencer. Trevor, did he come from Essendon?
I'm pretty sure he did.
No, he came from Melbourne. Essendon, he was at Essendon, then came to...
he sort of had that big bouffant,
yeah.
And that sort of gangly running style.
And he suffered a very bad knee injury, which ended his career from memory.
Old Spencer for hire.
Because he was playing some good footy. He actually played in 91. He actually played in all three finals.
Yeah.
Where Geelong were... 91 is a forgotten year for the Cats.
He wore 34, did he?
Yep.
Jeez, I could have sworn he wore 23 for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, Shieldsy would have been wearing 23 at that time for the Cats. Wore 34. He played in the elimination final win over St Kilda. And then the semi-final loss to Hawthorn, which if Geelong had won that second semi-final and they were so close, they might have jagged a flag in 91.
Yeah. Could have.
Yep. But didn't.
Coulda, shoulda,
woulda.
Woulda, didn't.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.